freedom, free choice. We just think that that's the greatest virtue. But the issue isn't free choice. It's the exercise of free choice to not make free decisions, but good decisions. And that's the whole point, is that we exercise our free choice, but we do it with full trust in the commands of Christ. So by abiding in His Word, we make choices of wisdom, wisdom that produces life and health. So we're not so concerned about, you know, wanting to have free choice so I can make any decision I want. I only want to make wise decisions. And that's the way I want to exercise my free choice. The second one, what part does the Bible play in freedom? Remember, the Bible, we talk about that the Bible actually is the revelation of God. God speaks to us in either principle or precept. You're driving down the road. Let's say you're going up Highway 150, back and forth, back and forth, because you think you've passed a camp one time before, and that you think it's right off 150. And then finally, the person you're with plays the part of your wife and says, is that right, Ron? And I said, why don't we stop at the Shell station and ask questions? And then find out you have to come up here and around like that. But not to embarrass Ron in any way, but pride does take many different forms. The point being is this. If you're going down Highway 150 at Port, and if you see a sign that says 25 miles per hour, that's a precept. A precept is the law is 25 miles per hour. Now, they say the spur of the law is anything up to 9 miles above that, right? Nine miles above that. But basically, it's 25 miles per hour, 25 miles, 30, 35. It's a precept. Now, you go a little bit further, Ventura, and you're going around a curve, and you see another sign that says, drive carefully. That's a principle. That's a principle. So the Bible speaks to us in both precept and principle. Should I go out and get drunk with the boys? Ephesians 5:18. No, do not get drunk. That's pretty much, there it is. Should I go out and, you know, have five wives and fornicate my little head off? No. 1 Thessalonians 4, you are to sanctification, not to commit fornication. So those are our precepts. Those are pretty simple. There they are. But then what you need to bring wisdom in is when the Bible speaks in the sense of principle. Principle is a general principle. When I was sitting over here, I heard you guys mention something interesting about loving your enemy. And I thought, you know, that's, again, one of those things that's really, if we talk about tough stuff and being a disciple, it's easy to love people who are lovable. But what about the guys that are just really, you know, a topple short of a combination plate? I mean, the guys that are just really jerks. How do you love your enemy? Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to unless it makes sense to me. And like I said, when something makes sense, then you can fully embrace it, and then you can apply the principle uniquely to your situation. Well, at the very in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, longest sermon Jesus ever gave. Probably gave it many different times, parts of it many different times. Matthew gives us the composite. But he ends chapter 5 by saying that verse 43. You heard that it's been said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, hard thing. Here's a basic principle. If somebody's persecuting you, therefore defined as your enemy, you're to recognize their work. You're to love them. You're to respond to them as a one who bears the image of God and respond to that respectfully and so forth. Now, I read that and I go, I'm not going to do that. And Jesus gives the next verse to help us make sense of the principle. Next verse. In order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So we've been talking about, in case you think I was making this stuff up, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So now, what's going to cause me to want to love my enemies, especially those who are giving me a hard time? And we talk about sheep bites in the ministry. Some of them are really big. And I'm supposed to love these people. Why would I do that? Answer, I'm a son of my Heavenly Father. And as a son of my Heavenly Father, I'm to manifest His glory. Do you remember when Moses went up to the mountain and Moses says, God, show me your glory? Did you ever wonder what was he asking? What he's asking is, what's glory is basically, what is it about you you want known? That's your glory. So when your name pops up in some conversation, whatever people are talking about, that's your glory. It's your name. It's your reputation. It's what people think about you. So when Moses says, God, show me your glory, what Moses is asking God is, God, what is it about you you would like known? Now, I was raised Southern Baptist, had the hell scared out of me every week. So apparently my pastor says, what God wants known is you're going to hell, and he's going to burn your little noggin if you don't pray a prayer. But when God was asked, God, what would you like the world to know first about you? God says, I want them to see my compassion. I want them to see my loving kindness. And the word there, loving kindness, is the word hesed. It's when you think about the well-being of another person. So what does it mean when Paul says we're to glorify God, doxazo, manifest his glory? It's what any son does for his father to honor the father. He shows what the father's like. And the father has what the term is called common grace. And common grace is that God has such love for the world. Remember in 1 John chapter 4 when he says God is love? You know, you kind of go, yeah, I heard it. God is love, God is love. Okay. So I've heard people say love is a verb. Well, yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, it's a verb. But 1 John 4:7 says God is love. Which was the verb? Those of you did not sleep through ninth grade English. Is the verb. When a love's not a verb. What is it? It's a predicate nominative. Oh, write that baby down. Impress your friends, Anthony. There, you know. What love there is a predicate nominative. Nominative means subject. It's a restatement of the subject. It's describing when the Bible says God is love, there's something in God that he values what he makes no matter what it turns out. You and I, not so. We value what we make as long as it turns out the way we want it. And if it doesn't, we call it junk. But basically, God doesn't make junk. That's why when the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he means it. Because the world's screwed up. But because of who God is, he values what he makes. That's our Heavenly Father. And he expects his sons to manifest what he's like. And so as he will throw rain on the righteous and unrighteous, and he will give the sunlight to the good and the evil with that unconditional love, valuing human beings for no other reason than they bear the image of God and they are created by a God who loves them and were willing to spend his own son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation. Who else is going to recognize that worth in other human beings than his sons and his daughters? Therefore, Jesus says, the best way for you to see it is when people see you loving your enemies. When your own enemies see you respecting, caring, responding to them, they're blown away. And the only explanation they're going to come up with is when they ask. And that's what 1 Peter 3:13 says. Do not fear their intimidation. For sanctify Christ as your Lord. Set him apart so people can see here's your Lord. And here's how. Always be ready to give an apologia, a reason, a defense for not the faith. We're not God's attorneys. He can afford better than us. But he says, always be ready to give an answer. That means when you're asked, for the reason of the hope that is in you. It's very personal. Well, first example of a principle. The principle is love our enemies. The reasoning behind it is the most powerful way to manifest the love of God to human beings and who God really is. Therefore, because it makes sense, I now drive carefully, I decide how fast that is, and I decide how long I will drive carefully. And so the point is, then I will decide who are my enemies, how I respond. So the Bible gives us, know the truth, truth will set you free. Speak to you in precept, sometimes just tells you, do this, don't do that. Sometimes it will just give you principle, help you make sense of the principle, you make the application. So walk worthy of sons of God.